You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Trample Bet Podcast. Podcast for Saturday the 29th of October. You'll be noticing, if you're a patron right now, that we are missing one Andy Vaughan. And, you know, he did phone me about 15 minutes before this and he looks fucking terrible. So I thought I would just start the podcast by outing him as not being very well just now. So if anyone could just send a get well soon message to Andy, that would be great. But we do have a rather strong performer from last week. Dave has returned. How you doing, Dave?
Yeah, not bad, man, not bad. I thought we got rid of Andy for a second.
Well, I mean, I'm working on it, mate. There's only so much polonium I can put in this tea, you know. But yeah, so, I mean, pretty last week. So, overall, I think a pretty good week for a man who has been, with the exception of a game that was cursed purely by all of us really wanting to pick up on the podcast, you had a great week. Even calling out a correct score and you're outsider. So, I mean, we'll delve into that there. But yeah, I just thought that was worth mentioning for everyone. So, yeah, Dave's on this week and we'll be back and we'll be recapping his picks from his excellent picks from this week and giving us some picks for the week ahead. So, I'll start with Andy's because that's generally how we roll it around. He took Celtic to beat Hearts in a game he expected to get an early payout on and didn't. This game was fucking mental. Celtic ended up winning at 4-3 after a Lauren Shankland hat-trick for Hearts. It was a cagey one there. VAR, it was the first use of VAR in an Old Firm game, or in a game involving the Old Firm in Scotland.
Yeah.
It was so contentious. Like, just stuff given for handballs and various, and people, they're having a bit of fun with it. They got the mileage out of VAR in that game, but his banker did come in, so that was Celtic. And it was 1-3 in there.
How's that gone down? Munchlog, Scottish, not well at all.
Well, the first game was Hibs St Johnson, and yeah. We sold out our stadium for it. So we had our highest home attendance by making all the tickets like a fiver. We ended up losing 2-1 after being up 1-0, and that was the first game of VAR. So I just consider VAR a failure. There was no contentious decisions. I just consider VAR a failure. No, there's been some weird stuff already. Rangers Livingston at the weekend as well. They had a couple of decisions in there. The Celtic one was, they're just getting used to it just now, but yeah, it's going to be a long road before we're at the, I mean, I think the EPL, the English Premier League now have kind of got it down a bit. Like the decisions don't, well, I mean, what do you think? Do you think decisions are still taking ages or?
They're not taking as long as they were. I still think there's contentious decisions with it. There's still decisions made that aren't clear and obvious. And I think there's nothing worse when you're at a game and your team scores and you celebrate and then actually you think, oh, hold up.
Yeah.
I've got like 3 minutes to find out if it's actually a goal or not.
Absolutely. Like that's the one thing about it, that it's the fan experience that deteriorates. But yeah, it's some interesting games in the SPL last weekend with Rangers drawing and Celtic getting that late win. I mean, a slight sidebar here. Did you see any of Celtic Shakhtar?
I didn't know.
Shakhtar had the worst miss I've ever seen. Like, worse than Chris Evelumo's versus Norway for Scotland. Worse than any miss you can think of. A guy has played in clean on, like, through on goal. The goalkeeper, Joe Hart, is standing at the front post with the guy past the ball and he tries to control it and controls it in a way that he just dribbles it past the post. I'll stick it in the group afterwards. It is terrible. It's the worst miss. They were one each as well, so they lost that game 2-1, so they were very lucky last night to get anything out of that. But yeah, so Andy's back.
Ronnie Rosenthal for Ronnie Rosenthal for Liverpool against Villa. Where he's a bar from 2 yards out.
Yes, that's, I mean, I played an 11s game a couple of years ago that I still get stuck in my work for missing an absolute sitter. And the only thing that I can say about it is there was a guy who missed a worse one later on that gets it so much worse than me. So if he had missed a worse sitter, I'd be, you know, pariah. But yeah, so Andy's banker did come in. I got a banker in, I think, in the quickest succession anyone's ever got a banker in. I'd taken over 0.5 first half goals in the Dortmund game. Jude Bellingham scored after 1 minute and 28 seconds to take this bet in, and he ended up scoring a whole bunch of goals, and they ended up winning that game 4-0. Good result midweek against City too. Holding out for a result in there, but yeah, so that came in, which left Ajax, you know, 1-50 versus Valvik. So, Dave, how did it go on?
Yeah, so it was Dutch league, and it was working at Ajax, and locked Ajax at 1-4, and they actually won the game 4-1 in the end. Warwick had a goal disallowed in the 11th minute. To be honest, I didn't see it, so I wasn't sure what it was for. But then Ajax took the lead. They equalised to go 1-1 at half time, but Ajax took control of the game after that, and once they retook the lead in the 53rd minute, they scored again, 62nd and 81. So pretty comfortable win in the end, to be honest.
It was a comfortable win for them. I've seen that actually as well, because I did message the group going, "Oh, it's only Dave to go," and Andy just sent me a screenshot of like they're already up by two. So the game's done, 3-6-5-5. So banker treble did come in, and a good result overall there. But so onto the value then, and first blot in Andy's copybook, he took Falkirk versus Kelty Hearts. Kelty Hearts won this game 3-2. They were 2-0 up within about 20 minutes here. Falkirk brought them back, got a couple of goals back, but Kelty were the better team here and ran out 3-2 winners. So no value for Andy. My value highlights my new favourite player in the French league. I am, of course, referring to the game between Concarneau and Villefranche. I couldn't get a correct scorer on him, right? Because obviously it's the Ligue Nationale. But Gary did mock up a fantastic graphic for me on Twitter for my Concarneau starlet. But of course, referring to Adrien Boutre, who got a first half 30-minute hat-trick in the game versus Villefranche to win this game 4-1 for them. Good result overall. This was Friday night and it kicked off at 10 to 11. So decent result in the value for me. Dave, how was your value?
I wish I'd have left this one to Andy, to be honest. I got something else, but yeah, it was Bochum against Union Berlin, and we all loved a bit of Union, didn't we? 10-11.
Oh, we did. Great pick, but not on paper.
Bochum won the game 2-1 in the end. Bochum took the lead just before half time through Hoffman, and they went up 2-0. In the second half. Don't know if you saw any of the game, but to be fair, it's a fantastic goal.
Was a belter?
The second, yeah, it was a great build-up. It was like, even the commentators were like, this is like mental, like the bottom of the league, and they're playing football like this against the top. But then they got a penalty, Union, to get back into it. Pantovic, his next Bochum player, misses the penalty. I mean, it was never a penalty in a million years.
Yeah.
The guy trod on the striker's foot from a corner, and the ref just went to VAR. We looked at the video, gave a pen. It was never a penalty. But they pulled one back in the 93rd minute. But I mean, to be honest, that Union were terrible. They created nothing. And I know they don't create anything anyway. But
If you're not creating anything, you don't score those chances. You're not creating. You're not going to have a great game. But yeah, I mean, I looked at Union this weekend and fancied them again, but you know, I take them as a pick. But I don't think it was a particularly bad pick. I think you just ran into a bit of the old pick of the week curse. So we'll leave that. There'll be no picks of this week, no pick of the week this week. And on to the outsiders. So Andy's were first, back in his own team versus St Mirren, lost the game 2-1. So all we can really say about that, he wasn't at the game, St Mirren beat United 2-1. My outsider, I was really happy with up until about the 70th minute in this game. So I had been talking quite a bit about how much I liked Ternana versus Genoa obviously they'd Genoa have came down from Sierra A. Ternana are a perennial team in this league. They were top of the league at that point. They went up 1-0, and up until about the 70th minute were doing really well. Genoa subbed the boy on. He scored a minute later and set up the next one. So a bit of an impact sub. They went on to win that. Genoa went on to end the game 2-1. But yeah, you know, I haven't backed them previously and I won't back them again. They're a fleeting visit on the podcast. So no outsider for me. But as I alluded to earlier on, Dave, how was yours?
Yeah, so it was Chelsea United in the Prem. And it was a light kickoff on the Saturday. And I liked the draw. I did say I liked the 1-1 draw as well, which is exactly how it ended. United were on top, to be fair, first half, but went in 0-0 and thought we were cruising to a nice 0-0, which, you know, you'd attack it all day. And then Scott McTominay decides to do a bit of wrestling in the box from a corner.
It was very much a penalty.
which Jorginho converted. And I'm thinking, nice one, Scott. You've just cost me my head's order. And then good old Casemiro just pops up in the 94th minute with a header. We make it 1-1.
That Real Madrid feeling, isn't it? Did you just don't want to lose that team? But yeah, I mean, great result on the outsider. And calling out that, I think it'll be 1-1, was excellent. We need to get you a clip of that. But yeah, a great result for you, Dave. Unfortunately, as we take them all as a kind of doubles and trebles, there was no result for me or Andy in there, but a great result in there for you, Dave. And that led us on to this week's charity, which I probably shouldn't have got so wide about last week. So I'll start with Andy first. He'd Copenhagen versus Midtjylland to be a draw or a Midtjylland. It was a draw. Boy got lucky though. Copenhagen missed a penalty in the 85th minute to win the game 2-1, but you take these chances and he'd taken the draw away. So that came in for him. Do you want to talk about yours before I let it all down?
Yeah.
Build suspense.
Mine was Saturday at 3 o'clock in the Championship and it was QPR against Wigan. And QPR were 10-11 here and they won the game 2-1. So Sam Field opened the scoring for QPR after 12 minutes. Wigan got a goal back through Broadhead on the 22nd, but 2 minutes later, Leo Balogun put QPR back in, and that's how it stayed for the rest of the game. That went great second half, not much happened, but you know, nice 2-1 win there.
It was a great result because I backed it on my five team ACK. I backed it on a couple of other things as well. So it was the only green in an otherwise red coupon for me, which takes it on to me in the charity bet. A pick that a couple of people had recognised separately as well. This was Regina versus Perugia. I really fancied Regina because they've been playing really well. They went 1-0 down to... So I'm going to take you through this whole game because I watched it all on the Bet365 player. So started off with Perugia getting a goal that could have been VAR'd off because they play a long ball over the top. The guy just pushes, Haaland style, pushes the defender onto the ground and runs through and scores. And they go at VAR. It's contentious. It goes to Perugia's way. It's fine. Perugia then get a man sent off, getting booked 4 minutes apart. Fantastic. They then score two additional goals to go 3-0 up away from home. One of the goals were a deflection. They got a penalty. The next one was, you know, Regina are pressing them and the keeper's made some outstanding saves for Perugia. He looks a bit like Stuart Armstrong if he was much taller. he's through on goal. I'll put the highlights in the group. The guy miskicks the ball, but miskicks it in a way that it bounces off the keeper and back out. And it dribbles in. It barely crosses the line. Doesn't have the. It's like a putt that almost doesn't roll in. It's that thingy. So we were all like, "This is fucked." Regina then get two goals back. They bring on a couple of strikers in the second half, and they get two goals back in the 80th and 87th minute. I'm thinking, well, maybe we're not dead here. Nah, they just. Regina managed to. They missed. I mean, listen to the stats in this game. 27 goal attempts, 14 of which were on target. They had 73% possession, 6 shots off goal, 7 block shots, 23 kicks. The other side, the bar is so low in some of them. It's like they had Perugia had 1 shot off goal and they had 7 shots on goal and they scored 3 goals. Regina had scored 2 from 14. That's some, you know, that's the complete opposite of Union Berlin, isn't it? That's being very inefficient with your goals. So I killed the charity and I unfortunately put on again this week. But, you know, not really much more to say to that other than, yeah, a bit disappointed there. But overall, not a bad week, really, especially for Dave, who went 3 out of 4. So this is the part of the show where we head into our break. If you are on the Patreon, you will continue to see our lovely faces. And we will hear the stuff we didn't think made the cut for the show this week. And we might chat about some other things as well. Maybe Florida-based sports. Dave's wearing an Orlando t-shirt and I've got a Marlins hat beside me. So, yes, to join our Patreon, if you'd like to access all this content, it's about £6 a month. You can go to www.trampledbet.com and you can see on there and access the link to our Patreon. So catch us there. Me and Dave will go to the midsection and talk some shit. Dave. Let's go to the midsection.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So, after that advert, I'm sure you all enjoyed. If you're not on Patreon, we will move into this week's picks. So, obviously, there's no Andy this week, so it'll just be me and Dave trying to hit the eightfold. I mean, I did think about like trying to do his picks for him and just like having a look at Japanese football and maybe taking Union Berlin. And you've already.
He can't pick anything in Japan lightly, can he?
No, he can't. So, I mean, even the Urawa Red Diamonds have let him down. So, yeah, well, I don't endeavour to guess for him here, so I'll start us off with something what I think is nice and simple. Man City to beat Leicester, banker, away, 1-4. I mean, I've backed Leicester twice in about the last 6 weeks, and both times they've been fucking rubbish. And I mean, Dortmund did well to keep them out the other night, and, you know, obviously Riyad Mahrez missed a penalty in there. He's just not that good at taking penalties. I don't know why they keep giving them. But they'll have more than enough to beat Leicester, in my eyes. And you can get them at 1-4 to do so. I actually had a look around. 3-11 is the price of Hills, which I've never seen down as a used fraction in sports bet. But yeah, City at 1-4. Easy for me in this one. So, Dave, what have you got banker-wise?
So mine's it's a 3:15 kickoff on a Sunday in La Liga. Yeah. It's Real against Girona, and you get Real Madrid again, 1-4. You know, Real are top, 31 points. Girona have only picked up 9 points from their 11 games. They're in 18th. Real top of the form table. Girona are 20th in that form table. They've only taken 2 points in the last 5. Girona only took 1 point from their 5 away games this season, whereas after Real have taken 13 points from their home games. You know, they've just recently beat Barca, they beat Atleti. Benzema's won the Ballon d'Or.
I mean, it can't really go much better for them at the moment, can it?
No, I mean, Girona haven't won in the last 6 either. They've lost the last 4, drew 2. I think it should be pretty comfortable for Real, even though they did get beat last night in the Champions League. But I think they did make a couple of changes. But Benzema was injured, so I don't know if he's back for the weekend. But if he's not, they've got enough to cover with Valverde and
Valverde has been scoring some mental goals at the start of the season.
It's mad that apparently he cost $4.5 million. When they picked him up.
They've just got that South American connection. Like, they just have that. That's, I mean, a lot of the guys that we play baseball with are huge Real Madrid fans. South American guys, Central American guys, and they're all like massive Madrid fans. I don't know how Real have done it, but they just seem to get the pick of anyone on that continent that they fancy. Yeah. So
they must have something over there that sets up like a camp or something that is like, get them going and get them interested in Madrid or
Possibly. I mean, there's just the Spanish connection in that neck of the woods as well. But people just seem to love Real at that. But so yeah, I mean, enough to beat Girona at 1-4. I think that's good in there. I don't have the odds for both of us combined there, but I'm assured that, you know, some good bankers there. On to the value section, and I will take us to a traditional kickoff Sunday, 4:30 in the Bundesliga. This is Freiburg away at Schalke, and I really like Freiburg here. They are, I mean, outside of Union, probably a sneaking kind of overall up towards the top of the league performance here. If it wasn't for Union playing so well at the moment, people would be like, oh, Freiburg are doing pretty damn good. They're away at Schalke, who are rock bottom, taking 6 points from their first 11 games. Freiburg are taking 21 points from their 11. Freiburg's away form has been pretty good. They did get cuffed by Bayern, but a lot of teams will. But they have beaten, they have had some decent results when they're playing away already. Schalke's last five games, they've lost all of them. That was a 2-1 loss to Hertha, a 5-1 loss to Hoffenheim, another 3-0 loss to Hoffenheim in the Cup, 4-0 win, a 4-0 loss to Leverkusen, and a 3-2 loss to Augsburg in there. So they're not scoring many goals, and they're really not playing well just now. I think Freiburg fancy their chances here. I mean, they're very much of the Union school of scoring 16 goals and conceding 13, so they take their chances. But, you know, Schalke have conceded 26 in their games. So anyway, that's who I fancy for my value slot. It's Freiburg away here, and they are just under even money. You can get them at 9-10 at 3.65. So value for me. What you got, Dave?
Why have we had a German sword near the top against a German sword at the bottom in a value section before?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not as if recent form would tell me against that, but I expect Schalke to run out 9-0 winners now, aye, on the back of it.
I like it. Cool. So I'm back in League Two in England, Saturday at 3:00.
More traditional, Dave. Excellent.
Yeah, this is Colchester against Stevenage. And you can get Stevenage here 8-7. Interesting.
Yep, but, good odds.
Yeah. Stevenage is second in League Two. They took 35 points from 16 games, scoring 23, conceding 14. It's Colchester down in 23rd. They've only taken 10 points from their 15 games they've played. They scored 10 goals, conceding 21. You get Stevenage second in the form table there. They've taken 10 from the last five, taken 14 points from their eight away games as well. Whereas Colchester, they've only taken 4 points from their last five, and they've only taken 9 points at home this season. Both these sides played last night. Stevenage beat Doncaster 1-0 away, and Colchester drew 2-2 with Crawley, just above them in the league. Colchester only win in the last, there were two games in the last 13 games. One was against Harrogate, who are bottom, and the other was against Charlton, who, you know, languishing in mid-table. Stevenage, really, they lost to Northampton last week 3-2, but they haven't been beaten in seven games in all comps before that. And Stevenage won both games against Colchester last season, home and away. So I think for a team that's second against a team that's 23rd, 8-7 is pretty good odds there for Stevenage.
I think it's good. I'm just always very comforted when you just start talking about League One or League Two. When you can, like, there's no pronunciation issues. You're not like, I'm not going to pronounce this wrong. You know exactly what happens with Colchester and Stevenage. So it's a great pick in there, and it's good to see you back in a league that you know and love. So yeah, I'll be all over that. The value double there. So I guess that leads us on to the outsiders now. If Andy was on, he'd hate my pick. So I'm actually a little bit glad he's not here for this. I am in the SPL. This is Saturday at 3 p.m. And I am taking the X2 market on Rangers versus Aberdeen. I fancy Aberdeen to get something out of the game. Look at the odds for that. You're getting what I consider as, I don't really know how to describe it, as spicy-ish. About 2-1 or just over for Aberdeen to get something out of this game. So let's talk about why. Now, Aberdeen's last three games Aberdeen's last four games, with the exception of getting pumped by Dundee United 4-0, have been quite good. They beat Motherwell 2-1, they beat Partick in the Cup, they beat Hearts 2-0 in there. You seem to say how much Celtic struggled with that last week, and they beat Kilmarnock. The last three games that Rangers and Aberdeen have played, Rangers won 1-0, they drew one each, and 2-2, the two previous to that. Rangers are hitting a bit of a dip in form. They get crushed by Liverpool. They're going to get pumped tonight by Napoli, and I don't think this is going to be a very happy dressing room getting into this game. A difficult game against Aberdeen here. Last week, they obviously drew one each, as we talked about, with Livingston. Their fan base are very annoyed at how they're playing football just now. And yeah, Livingston basically just marked them out of the game. David Martindale knows how to play against the old firm. He plays against Rangers and Celtic really well. But they only managed to save themselves in that game with a really late John Lundstrom goal after Livingston went down to 10 men and to get something out of that. Gio's not really doing it for them just yet. I still think he's a good manager and I think he will do well for them, but I don't think that they're having a particularly good season this season. The Champions League, they might go out with a record of 0 points. They're very much hoping that someone wins this group or so far ahead that they don't care and let them, you know, they could put a strong team here, but you know, they're really going to struggle tonight against a Napoli team that, you know, they beat Roma away at the weekend. And that was a tight game. This won't be. I think Aberdeen and Rangers will be a tight game, and I could see Aberdeen getting something out of it. Another draw possibly there, but I'd like the X2 market because I think they're giving you quite good odds in that. So double chance, 2-1, 11-5, 21-10, depending on which bookmaker you choose to take it with. Obviously, you don't get a two-goal payout in this, so if Aberdeen go up 2-0, you're onto plums if Rangers come back to 3-2 from that. But yeah, I think Aberdeen have got a shot here. So that is my outsider. Dave, what have you got?
Yeah, I think if Aberdeen get the first goal as well, I think fans will turn on Rangers. It'll be a bit toxic there and
yeah,
tough to perform and... In it,
I mean, if tonight they go out and get something against Napoli, this pick's going to lead off at like it's going to be a 6-1 by the time they play this, but I just don't think they will.
Yeah, can't see it. My outside, I believe, is a first for the Trampled Bet podcast.
We did discuss this, I think it is.
And I am in the Irish Premier Division on Friday, 8 o'clock. That's the Republic of Ireland for any international listeners, not Northern Ireland. And it's Finn Harps against Dublin. And you can get Dublin here at 3-1, which I'll find mad. Because Dublin, it's a 10-team league. Dublin are ninth, 23 points from 34 games. Scored 25, lovely, conceding 64 there. But Finn Harps at bottom, they've took 20 points from their 34 games. They scored a few more, 36, but they've conceded 66. Dublin have took 4 points from their last five games, whereas Finn Harps have only took 2 points. Dublin have took 9 points from their 11 away games. Again, Finn Harps have took 13 from their 7 home games. But Finn Harps haven't won in 7, drawn 2, lost 5. The Dublin's last two games have had a draw and a win. So under a little bit of form maybe for that league, but Dublin are unbeaten in the last five games against Finn Harps as well. They've won 3, they've drawn 2, and they won the last meeting between these two sides at Finn Harps. I don't understand why Dublin are 3-1 and Finn Harps are like favourites.
I mean, I have no idea because I've never. I think it's a pick 'em game, and I think getting 3-1 on one of these teams it's great.
Yeah, exactly. I think, and you know, I'd rather take Dublin there above them in the league. I've got a bit of form against them. We've got a bit of form in the last couple of games. I just don't see why it's 3-1. So,
hey, I'm all about it. I don't even know if it's a 2-0 up payout league. But a good pick in there. So yeah, the outsider double, I'm sure, will be pretty spicy in there with a 2-1 and a 3-1 there. So yeah. I mean, that leads us on to where I fucked it last week, the charity bet. So for any new listeners or listeners that may be familiar with this, We generally have three teams. We put a tenner of our own money on it. And if these teams come in, we send the money to a charity of our choice. It will be me backing it because I backed Regina last week, who were roundly pumped by Perugia. So this week will be a double. So it should, in theory, be easier to get in. And we did get two out of three last week, but I was the weak link. So I'll start us off with something I think that should be nice and comfortable. I'll be taking this to the Sierra A. This is on Sunday at 11:30 in the morning. It is Empoli versus Atalanta, and I quite fancy Atalanta to win this game. You get them at the odds of 7-9 or 4-5 if you chop around for that. Atalanta fourth in the league, right in behind Lazio, Napoli, and AC Milan. They're 5 points behind Napoli, but only they're tied on points with Lazio, and only two behind AC Milan in there. So they're in the Champions League spots there, versus an Empoli team who are in 11th with are in 12th with 11 points after 11 games. So Empoli are very middling at the moment. They're just outside the relegation kind of fight down there. There's a whole cluster of teams that haven't picked up many points this season through 11 games. Atalanta have been pretty good away from home. They drew 2-2 with Udinese, but they beat Roma, they beat Monza, they beat Verona, and they beat Sampdoria in their last five games. So they haven't lost any of their last five away games. Empoli at home, they beat Monza 1-0, but they had two losses to AC Milan and Roma and two draws with Verona and Fiorentina in there. Atalanta last won this fixture when it was played away. They won that 4-1 there. They've only lost one of the last four games when this has been played at Empoli. They tend to squeak it, but they had one result in there that was a 4-1. I'd like that this week. I just think Atalanta will have too much for them here. They're a team who are in the bit of the ascendancy here. They are, as people may not know, not in any European competitions at the moment. So they're not being held by playing midweek or anything. You know, they're fresh into this game. I think they'll have too much for Empoli. And it's 7-9 or, you know, whatever price you end up getting at, 4-5. I think they're a good pick. So one half of the charity bet obviously locked in because it's coming from me. Dave, what are you rounding us out with?
Yeah, so my picks before yours, mine is Saturday, 3:00. And I'm in League Two again.
Fantastic.
Hartlepool against Grimsby. You can get Grimsby here at 8-7. Now, them fishy boys, they're 11th in the table at the minute, comfortably mid table. That's at 23 points from their 15 games, whereas Hartlepool, dead bottom. They're only at 9 points from 16 games. Grimsby not doing too bad in the form table. They've taken 8 points from their last 5, whereas Hartlepool have only took 3. Grimsby have actually got the third best away record in this league. Obviously, they only came up last season. They've took 16 points from their 8 away games, whereas Hartlepool have only taken 7 points from their 8 home games. Hartlepool have only won one game in their last 13. Yeah. Grimsby lost to Barrow last night, but they've drawn 2. Won 4 before that. Sorry, 1-2 and drawn 4 games before. They've also won the last 2 meetings against Hartlepool, 1-0 and 2-0. Hartlepool are really, really struggling this season. I can't see them staying up, to be honest. I think Grimsby will have a bit too much for them anyway. But if you want to spot a League 2 side, Hartlepool have got a great Scottish contingent here. You know, they've got
really?
Yeah, so they've got Chris Maguire.
Right.
Forward. It's been around a few Scottish clubs and Sunderland and people like that.
Who else they got then?
Jack Hamilton.
Yes. Goalkeeper, Jack Hamilton.
I'm not 100% sure.
All right, okay, no, that's fine. Yeah.
We'll get back to you. Brody Patterson.
I mean, I don't even know who he is. Do you need to join on for this? These all qualify as Scots abroad.
Jake Hastley, something like that.
Oh, Jake, he was at Motherwell, or I know St. Mirren, maybe.
Ewan Murray,
so
the manager's Keith Curl, but their first team coach is Paul Hartley.
All right, there you go, then that'll be why they he's just he'll be scooping up a few players.
So if you're looking for, well, I wouldn't support them because they're probably going to get relegated. But if you want a bit of Scottish contingent,
yeah,
they're your team.
They're your team. So you're fine. What price were they then overall? Sorry, Dave.
8-7 again, Grimsby.
So that's good then. So Grimsby at 8-7, and you've got Atalanta at just under even money. So hopefully the charity bet will come in there. This is the bit where we get to talk about the Facebook group and all the things that have been happening here. So we obviously had Michael Stokes last week. He had, I think, won 6 of his bets and lost 3 overall profit and loss over 2.1 units. So he's doing pretty damn well so far. Sean O'Malley for Chris Kelly, who's been fucking talking about this fight for about 6 months.
Yeah, I backed it when he spoke about it. 3-1. I think he ended up going off at 2-1, didn't he? Or just under 2-1.
Yeah, just under 2s, but he apparently got a very unwarranted decision win. But hey, a win's a win. So well done, Kelly, there. That was overall here. Obviously, me and Ollie were all about that Regina hype last week. Unfortunately, we both... it was a crap game and a crap, excellent game to watch, just not if you're back to Regina. But so lots of action in there. Lots of members getting about just now. We've got a few new patrons as well. So welcome to Jacob, who joined recently. So lots of action in the Facebook group. Come along and join us. You can, if you just search Trample Bet Podcast in Facebook, you'll find us. You fill out the little form and you can join. You can tell if you're a bot trying to send all of our members 200 betting tips that you're pretending you've got, or you're just a punter like us who fancy a bit of a punt of the weekend. So, and obviously we had Joey over. So a bit of a story there, and that Dave met, we all met Joey at the over the last couple of weeks. So came to Celtic Hibs with me. We ended up having to sit in the Celtic end. That was shite because we and roundly. He went to, I believe with Jerome, he went to the Palace game where they won 2-1. He went to another couple of games as well. He came and played poker with us. He was down with you at the baseball or cricket cages, really.
I took him to a baseball cage. Thought he might be able to teach me a thing or two.
And how did that go? Work to do to for him?
He's not bad. He did say I haven't played baseball since college. The boy can strike a ball.
But he could strike a ball, no, but it was good to have him over, and that Trample Bet community is great. So he was out drinking with us, and Adam cycling about Glasgow. He visited the first ever international, home of the first ever international match played, which was Scotland-England in like 1872 or something. One half of which is a bowling green, the other half is now is just a communal garden. So did that, cycled about. It was good. Good times for him. So it was great to have Joey over anyway. And it just kind of shows the strength of being a Patreon. He got access to all of us when he got over here. So good result there. So if you enjoyed listening, feel free to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We post quite often on Twitter. Just now, Gary made me a sweet graphic for my Adrian Butra pick last week. I even followed him on Twitter. He hasn't followed me back yet. So I'll update when Mr. Butra. It's his 22nd birthday though yesterday. So happy birthday, Adrian. So thanks, Dave, so much for coming on. We all wish Andy to get well soon and come back next week with some better picks and just get well soon in general. So that's it from the Trample Bet boys. I'll say happy hunting because Andy's not here. Dave?
Bye.
The Trample Bet podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon and Gary Black, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sports-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.